Let's read Luke 5:12 through 16. While he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the deserted places and pray. Let us pray. Lord, open our eyes to see you in this word of God from you today. Give us fresh sight, fresh hearing. Revive us. Anywhere we've slipped, restore us. Ultimately, Lord, in following and walking with you. In your name we pray it to the glory of the Father, by your Spirit. Amen. As Jesus' public ministry was in full swing at this point in Luke, Luke tracks Jesus' public ministry in continuing a pattern of zooming in and out in looking at Jesus' ministry to and impact on both the masses and individuals. That's a pattern we're seeing so far in Luke. He makes it a point to zoom out on the masses that Jesus was reaching and then to zoom in on individuals that Jesus was reaching. In fact, Jesus' ministry to the masses was defined by his ministry to individuals. Think about it. Jesus did not merely minister to people in mass. He did not merely go find him a high place, gather a crowd, give a lesson, or pronounce some blanket healing, and then go on down the road. He took time with people individually. He ministered to the masses one person at a time. Two or three messages back, we looked at when he was in Capernaum after healing Peter's mother-in-law at home. He then went out and accepted the crowd that was coming, the masses that were coming to him. He spent all night healing people, touching them, healing them of their diseases, and driving out their demons. He was doing that one person at a time and did it all night long, one right after the other. He did teach people in crowds. We have seen that. But he also looked at them, talked to them, and touched them personally. The personal aspect of Jesus' public ministry should not escape us. He was public in his ministry, but he was personal in his ministry. In his ministry to people, Jesus' interaction with people while being superhuman, doing things absolutely impossible for the average human being. While the things he was doing were superhuman, his ministry was so very basically and wonderfully human in his humanity. He went to people on his own human feet. He looked at people with his own human eyes. He listened to people with his own human ears. He talked to people with his own human mouth, and he touched people with his own human hands. In his sincere love for God and people, he did all of this from his divine and human heart. He was not merely going through motions out there. He genuinely, sincerely, authentically, passionately loved God and people from his divine and human heart. In studying the humanity of Jesus, we are studying humanity as it should be. That's so important to understand. In a day and time when people are confused, arguing about, clearly not understanding what it means to be human, we see humanity as it should be in Jesus. Luke brings this into sharp focus for us in showing Jesus' compassion for a leper and his compulsion to pray. As we follow Jesus through these verses, seeing how his heart was turned to even one of the most destitute, despised people in that time, and turned to God above all at the same time, let's think carefully about how our hearts should be turned in following him through God's will for us today. So first, we look at Jesus' compassion for this leper, this one man. Look again at verses 12 through 14. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. Being covered with leprosy, this man had an extreme case of leprosy. That's Luke's point. This was an extreme case of leprosy, probably one of the most extreme cases, short of being killed by it. People died of it. This man was covered with it. Literally, it could be translated, he was full of leprosy. An extreme, aggravated case of the disease. And so he was extremely suffering. His suffering was beyond what we can imagine. If there was anybody that was a candidate for assisted suicide, that's being debated in our time. Should we be assisting people in ending their lives when things become too painful, disease becomes too painful, life becomes too painful? If there ever was a man that might have been a candidate for that, it was this man. If there ever was a man we could understand contemplating some kind of suicide, it would have been this man. His suffering was severe, beyond anything we can relate to. While we know his condition was terrible, we don't know exactly what condition he was in. I can't tell you exactly what his symptoms were. We don't know. Here are some notes on leprosy. Please listen, just for some historical background. I quote one commentator here, a couple of them, but here's the first one. Leprosy was known among physicians under three forms: the dull white, the clear white, and the black. Here's another commentator. The whole question respecting the exact nature of the disease is a vexed one. The word has been used with varying extent of meaning. As far as we can gather, the disease in its worst form seems to have been a progressive decay arising from the poisoning of the blood. The face and different members of the body were attacked and gradually destroyed till the sufferer became a hideous spectacle and literally fell to pieces. End quote. It's a terrible thing. And this man was an extreme case. He probably was a horrible, gory sight to see. And I promise you, nobody wanted to be around him. And yet he's in the city, probably heard Jesus was coming through somehow, probably during some of his begging for food, which is the only way he would have had to survive. He probably heard people talking about Jesus coming through. Somehow he got where he could see him, and he made a beeline for him, having heard about all the things that Jesus was doing. And a spark of hope came up in his heart. Whatever this man's condition was, he desperately wanted freed from it. Like we would have. Emptied of all his vain dignity and the lowest humiliation, without any consideration whatsoever of how it might appear for him to be so extreme, he fell on his face before Jesus. Didn't care who was watching, didn't care who was listening. There was no room for any of that kind of vanity in his life anymore. He was living in the lowest humiliation possible already. So it didn't matter to him what people thought about him. He got to Jesus and fell on his face in front of him and implored him, pleading with him. Convinced. Notice it. Convinced that Jesus was Abel, the man said to him, Lord, if you are what? If you are willing, you can make me clean. The man had no doubt whatsoever, did he, about what Jesus could do. This leper, ate up with his disease, somehow already knew the power of God was in this man they called Jesus. And that's where his spark of hope came from, in seeing him walk down this street of this city, this town. I know what that man can do. Lord, I know what you can do. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He did not say well. He did not say you can make me well. He said, you can make me clean. Meaning that he was pleading for both physical and social restoration. This man was a Jew. He understood the ceremonial law. He understood that not only was he sick, diseased, he was unclean. So he asked to be made clean. Because of this terrible disease, he was despised and he was destitute. He was an absolute outcast in their society, living in both pain and poverty. Pain like you and I cannot imagine, and poverty like we don't want to imagine. Begging for every bite of food he ever got. He could not work. Nobody wanted to live with him. Nobody wanted to be around him. He was despised and destitute. So being made clean would restore both his health and his life. That's why he asked to be made clean. With a deliberate drastic, visible act of compassionate mercy not necessary for the miracle. Jesus miraculously healed him. What exceeding joy the man must have felt at feeling the great physician's healing touch and at hearing his healing word. Jesus' touch on this man is just a compassionate touch on the miracle. Jesus wanted this man to feel the touch of another human being that he probably had not felt in a long, long time since it became apparent that he was a leper. No one would have touched him after that. He had lived a lonely, painful life for no telling how long as his disease progressed. And Jesus looks at this man with compassionate, loving pity. And he reaches out his hand and puts his hand on this hurting, desperate man and then says to him, "Yes, I am willing. Be cleansed." And he healed him. What a picture of love. What joy the man must have felt. Then Jesus gave the man a strict order. Tell no one. Do not tell anyone. Go straight to the temple. Take care of what Moses tells you to do with the priest. The man's first priority was not to tell his story. The man's first priority was not to give his testimony. I mean, that would have been our first instinct. If we saw something like this in our day and time, a man come forward absolutely ate up with a disease like this, and we ask the Lord, heal this man, and just right there on the spot, instantly, completely healed, our first instinct would have been, you go tell everybody. Here, we're going to take you up and down the street here, and we're going to knock on every door of everybody that's not in church, and we're going to let you tell them what Jesus just did for you. Our instinct would be to do that till the sun goes down and people tell us to stop coming. Tell everybody. Get the word out. Give that testimony. That's not what Jesus told him. Jesus told him his first priority was to obey God's word in what Moses commanded about leprosy in Leviticus 13, 1 through 46, still being under the old covenant. You go straight to the temple, you get with the priest, as a testimony to the priest at the temple and all the other Jews, this would have completed the man's cleansing and completely restored him to their society. That was his first priority. What great compassion Jesus had for this leper. And that got around. But there was something else going on with Jesus which Luke does not want us to miss, and that brings us to Jesus' compulsion to pray. Look at verses 15 and 16. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the deserted places and pray. Even though Jesus wanted to moderate his publicity, being driven by his miraculous power, in spite of that, his publicity kept growing, and so did the crowds. And we can understand why. He kept doing more miracles, sparking more stories, causing more people to go out and tell those stories, which caused more people to come to experience that for themselves. It was just fuel on fire. The fire kept growing. The farther the news went, the more frequently the large crowds came to both hear and to be healed, to be taught and touched by Jesus. Now, isn't that what every preacher should want? I didn't surrender to the ministry to be locked up in a closet preaching to myself. When I knew God was calling me to preach, I expected Him to send me to people to preach to. I think it's quite natural for every preacher, I'm not talking about in a self-seeking way, please understand me, I'm not talking about in a self-promoting way. Every preacher enters the ministry expecting to preach to as many people as he possibly can until the day he dies. And it's in his heart to reach as many people as possible with the Word of God. That's my desire. I want to reach as many people as I possibly can with the Word of God before it's my time to go home to be with God in heaven. I think that's a natural thing for any preacher to want. So we have to think about it here. Shouldn't Jesus have been squeezing as much ministry as possible into every minute to as many people as possible? They're coming to Him. He's not having to run them down. He's not having to go out there and make Himself known. The word's out. All He has to do is plant Himself in one place, and they're coming to Him. So shouldn't He squeeze as much ministry as possible into every minute to as many as possible? That'd be the way I'd tend to think. But that isn't what He thought. That's not what He did. Luke clearly shows us, as the large crowds kept coming to Him more, Jesus kept going away to pray more. That's the contrast in those two verses. He's telling the leper, He told the leper, tell no one, go to the temple. In Luke 15, Luke says, but in contrast, the news kept getting out. Meaning we're to take for granted part of the news going out was this leper's story. Everybody knew him. The news kept going out. But in contrast to the news going out and the crowds continuing and to grow and come to him, Jesus kept slipping away more to pray. Now this goes hard. This goes hard against the idea that many people have today, that the more you have to do, the less time you have to pray. The busier you are, the less you pray. And we hear things like, and I'm quoting loosely here, but I'm giving you the gist of the way people think and talk. God doesn't want people that live on their knees. He wants people that are working on their feet. You unfold your hands and put your hands to work. God doesn't want prayers. He wants doers. Listen to me. No one is busier than Jesus was. No one has more demands on their time and energy than Jesus had. And yet, everything came after and out of his personal, private time with the Father in prayer. More than anyone else ever, As the Son of God, Jesus could have justified not taking time out and away to pray, especially with so many that needed help. Think about it. He left people sick to disappear into the deserted places to pray. We have to ask why. Because we all have a natural tendency to think, listen, if you've got somebody right in front of you that needs help, you don't go take time to pray, you help the person. If you've got demands right in front of you that need your attention, you go pray after you give your attention to those demands. And Luke's point here is crystal clear. Jesus left the people to get away from the people to pray. He could have, more than any other, said, I can't do that. I have to help the people. When I get through helping the people, then I'll go pray. But the more there were to help, the more he prayed. Why? Because as the man of God, his first priority was his relationship with God, out of which everything else flowed. That's what we can't miss. Everything Jesus was doing flowed out of his relationship with God. So the more he had to do, the more he needed to stay in touch with God the Father. The river of his ministry would not have flowed with its restoring, refreshing water if he had neglected its source. That can't escape us. In following Jesus, his compassion for people and his compulsion to pray must define Christian ministry. It must define Christian ministry. It's both. It's not either or. It's not either compassion or compulsion to pray. Not either compassion for people or compulsion to pray. It's both. We see both from Jesus. We should have his compassion for the leper. But you know, there will always be another leper. And so, our compassion for the leper, for people, must never eclipse our compulsion to pray. We must follow Jesus to touch untouchable people. But we must also follow Jesus away from people to pray. We see both extremes in the church today. There are churches that put all kinds of emphasis on compassionate ministries. And they're about to kill themselves helping people, feeding people, clothing people, going on mission trips to third world countries. And they're pumping out thousands and even millions of dollars into compassion-driven ministries. But they neglect prayer. They neglect the word. And you can find the other extreme. You can find churches that make much of prayer and much of study and much of being in the Bible. And they do little to show compassion to the down and out. They do little to go and touch the untouchable. They can't tell you the last time they talked to, much less touched, a leper. And I use that figuratively. In Jesus, it has to be both. You and I need to be praying for those opportunities. Listen, that was a divinely appointed moment when Jesus was going through that city and met that man. We need to pray for those moments. We need to be ready for those moments. We need to have a heart turned to people by God for those moments. We need to let God interrupt our day with those moments of reaching out to someone in need with real compassion. But at the same time, every day, we're taking time away from our day, from the busy schedule, from all the things we need to do, from all the people that need help, to go to the Father and pray. I don't know where you are. You ask the Lord to help you see what adjustment you need to make. That's what I asked Him in preparing for this message. Make me more like You, Lord. Make me a man more like You. Compassionate for people. And compelled to pray. Let's pray now. Lord, we see You. We see You in Your Word. We see You in this story. Make us like You. Father, make us like Jesus. Give us a heart for people. And at the same time, give us a heart for You over all people. Give us real compassion for those in need, even the most destitute, the most despised, but keep in our hearts that constant, never-ending compulsion to pray. Draw us in. Draw near to us as we draw near to You. Cleanse us from anything that keeps us from You, that breaks our fellowship with You. We ask this for Your glory in us as You do Your will for us and show Your will for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.